All right. So I had called the meeting to order, and we were told by our city attorney that there were no reportable actions. And so now we will have our Pledge of Allegiance by Councilmember Newsom.
Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk. Here. Councilmember Burbo.
Here.
Councilmember Newsom.
Here.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Here.
And Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. We're looking for an approval of the agenda, and so I would ask for an approval of the agenda and that we waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda, and the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the city clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the city council votes. Is there a motion?
I'll so move.
Second.
We have a first by Mayor Pro Tem Borbo, a second by Councilmember Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Funk.
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Borbo.
Yes.
Mayor Moreno.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We have no presentations this evening, and so now we have the consent calendar. These are items that are considered to be routine and non-controversial that generally we can just approve all at once unless there are any members of the public or the council wishing to pull an item. And I do know that the city manager has an item here, A4. Would that be you, Ms. City Clerk? Item A4.
Yes, I think there is an update to the resolution to the Exhibit A for item A4. And I think Community Development Director just has a slide to show us.
Do we have it as a slide?
To show us what that change is. Actually, in your packet, it says under Exhibit A for the resolution, it shows it that was the exhibit from the last one we did in 17. The one right behind it is actually the corrected one, and then at the dais, we've provided you with a copy of what we are going to update that Exhibit A to look like.
Okay.
So you guys all have a copy, and we've put a copy in the public review book as well.
Okay.
So the resolution, nothing changes other than the exhibit will be updated to
Wonderful.
Provide
Thank
more
you.
Information.
Thank you. So is there any member of the council wishing to pull an item? Any member of the public wishing to pull an item on the consent agenda? All right. Seeing none, I will request a motion.
I'll move approval of the consent calendar with item A4 as amended.
Second.
We've got a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Borbo, a second by Councilmember Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Borbo?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to updates from our city manager.
Thank you, and Mayor and council members. It's that favorite time of year again. I want to tell you a little bit about the 4th Annual Tamale Festival. It will be held during the long holiday weekend this month on Saturday, January 19th, from 11 to 5 p.m. In the Sunken Gardens and throughout the downtown. So we're going to spread it out a little bit this year, give everybody a little bit more elbow room. There will be a great variety of tamales, from traditional to gourmet and sweet tamales, and we'll be featuring tamale vendors from all over California. I know one of my favorite tamale vendors that does gourmet tamales will be coming. Very interesting tamales, including turkey, sweet potato, and cranberry tamales. Mushroom, wild rice tamales, a lot of different things. So everyone will be able to cast their vote for their favorite tamale and for the People's Choice Awards in each of the categories, traditional, gourmet, and sweet. And this year, for the first time, the festival will feature a Chihuahua costume contest and fashion show. There'll be a ton of entertainment, including the mariachi Mexican Ismo band. I apologize for slaughtering that name. The famous dancing horses, soloist Manuel Enrique, the Grupo Folkloric Dancers, Ricky Montillo, the Dork Band, and the Los Gatos Locos Band. There'll be plenty for the kids to do, as the festival will also include bounce houses, face painting, and balloon animals. A wide selection of food and craft vendors will also be there. So there'll be plenty of other food types for those who don't like tamales. And it's a real fun event for the whole family to attend. So even if you don't like tamales, it is free. Come down, take a look at it. You can stock up and buy a bunch of tamales, put them in your freezer. Great event. Again, that's Saturday, January 19th from 11 to 5 p.m. Coming up in February, we have the Father-Daughter Sweetheart Dance. All dads, granddads, and anyone with a special young girl in their lives are invited to spend a semi-formal evening with their young sweetheart and enjoy great music, dancing, refreshments, and desserts. The Father-Daughter Sweetheart Dance takes place at the Pavilion on the Lake, and there are two evenings in February for dads to choose from, either February 1st from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., which is perfect for little bit younger girls, typically around age 12, and then February 2nd from 7 to 10 p.m., which is perfect for a little bit older. We don't restrict it, but we do recommend that. So guests are welcome to purchase tickets for either night, whichever evening works best for them. There'll be a professional photographer on hand with affordable picture packages. Tickets for the event are available now at the Colony Park Community Center on Traffic Way between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Tickets will not be sold at the door. In fact, these events typically sell out. They're very popular with both the dads and the young girls, a favorite night. The dancing is, and the pictures are very sweet. The cost is $31 per couple for Atascadero residents or $35 per couple for non-Atascadero residents, for non-residents. And if you have two special young girls in your life, it's an additional $5 for any additional sweetheart daughters. Both evenings of this event always sell out really fast, so please, if you're interested in going, buy your tickets now. I want to tell you a little bit about Wine Speak 2019. I think as we all entered the council chambers tonight, we could smell quite a bit of the event here. It smells like wine here. Wine Speak is now in its second year, and the city of Atascadero is very pleased to once again be hosting this premier wine industry summit here at City Hall, as well as at the Pavilion on the Lake and at the Carlton Hotel. Wine Speak brings wine industry and hospitality professionals together with winemaker seminars, workshops, dinners, wine tasting, and exclusive vineyard tours. All of the WineSpeak events have been designed to increase collaboration, knowledge, and performance throughout the wine and hospitality industries. We're delighted to host this event, which represents over 200 wineries and helps our local wine and hospitality professionals to provide an exceptional visitor experience with the best customer service and knowledge of the wine industry. In addition, this year, the Dream Big Darling organization, with the mission of fostering the success of women in the wine and spirits industry, has partnered with WineSpeak to offer 5 scholarships to up-and-coming female wine professionals. It's even bigger and better than last year, and all the events are nearly sold out. However, there are a few tickets for seminars and networking events still available. To learn more about WineSpeak and to find availability for this year's event, you can visit www.winespeakpaso.com. The last item is one that I bring to you with great happiness. So we have some great news. After a great deal of labor-intensive staff time in developing our new local area management plan for our septic systems or on-site wastewater treatment systems, it has been approved by the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. So they The Regional Water Quality Control Board approved our LAMP on December 7th, and the new standards and requirements went into effect on Monday, December 10th. This should facilitate the ability to get permits for your wastewater or septic system replacement, make it a lot easier than the state regulations. You'll be able to deal with the city on those problematic or more creative septic systems, or if you have a parcel that's really hard to do, you'll be able to deal with the city rather than having to go through the Regional Water Quality Control Board. So that is great. We are working on developing a simplified design guideline for residents And if you have any questions regarding the lamp, please contact our Public Works Director, Nick DeBar. It's ndebar@atascadero.org, or Deputy Director Ryan Hayes, rhayes@atascadero.org. They'll be happy to help you with any questions you have. And with that, I'd be happy to help the council and the mayor with any questions they may have.
Thank you. Does council have any questions? No? I would like to say that Deputy City Manager Banish and I last night went to opening night of Winespeak, and when some of the folks there were introduced to me as mayor, one of the master sommeliers says, "I need to talk to you." I thought, okay. And he, along with the director of restaurants for the Royal Hawaiian Hotels, came up to me and said, "What have you done in Atascadero? Everywhere we've gone, everybody has been so nice, such hospitality, such great service. Every place they had gone, they were absolutely amazed." And said, "What have you done?" I said, "It's all of us. It's how we are as a community." And so I just wanted to thank all of you, because that's the kind of feedback we're getting from people from out of the area, out of state, who are in the hospitality industry and say that we really have something special here. So thank all of you. And with that, we will go on to our community forum. This is the portion of the meeting that is reserved for persons who are wanting to address the council on any matter not on this agenda and over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. We have turned on the sound on the timer to assist speakers in knowing when their 3 minutes are up. Please state your name for the record before making your comments. And know that any comments made during the community forum will not be a subject of discussion. A maximum of 30 minutes will be allowed for the community forum unless changed by the council. Any members of the public who have questions or need information may contact the city clerk's office between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. at 470-3400 or cityclerk@atascadero.org. Now I'd like to open it up for public comment. Please come to the podium and state your name for the record.
Hi, Phil Ketterly. Got spelled, or is it good? All right. I'm retired. I've been in this community for 35 years. I've been on the same road for 32. You guys know where I'm going, don't you? Yeah. So I'm not asking you to repair my road. Do it. Hey, JR.
If you could speak to the mic so I could hear you.
What I'm asking is, can we get a grader? Can we get somebody to just pay a little attention to our road? 32 years I've been on that road. And I've never once seen a city worker, other than Mark Russo, and that guy stands out. He's a stand-up guy. But, yeah, and I speak for Aurora Road, I watched the transition of that road down there deteriorate a lot of cars. And all we're asking is put a grader on. We got houses that have so much dirt in front of it because when people turn on our road, that it just piles up in the house. And his house floods almost every year. So we're not asking you to pave it. We're just asking you to grade it. Now, Tom Moore, I don't know if you know Sims and Company, he brings his tractor home every year. Guess what we do? We pitch in. Now, my city taxes, I know they go far. And I'm a California resident, staying here, retired. Want to take my money other places. How about fixing our road a little? That's all I ask. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to address the council? Please, and if you want to, please go ahead and line up. Go ahead and queue up anyone that's interested in coming to the podium. No, please, ma'am, yes. And sir, I think someone else raised your hand. Go ahead and get queued up. No reason to wait. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Cinda Kane. We're relatively new to Atascadero. However, we intend to be here for the near future. And this is something you've heard again and again. But the homeless problem, I just have to say it. The lady who walks along the street, El Camino Real, every day with the little dog, we've all seen her. And she may have been a subject of many complaints. The police department may have heard about her. I don't want Atascadero, which open for business, to be defined by homelessness. I took a bed to the dog today. This lady's ankles are swollen. She does not know what she's doing, like many of the homeless. We have a mental health crisis in this country. We all know that. I just have to say, if Atascadero is going to flourish, if it's going to be the town that it needs and wants to be, let us step forward. Let us not just be known for our hospitality, but for our care for all citizens, especially those who can't take care of themselves or their pets. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, welcome.
Good evening. My name is Mark Van Cleve. I've lived on Aurora Road for 2 years. My wife lived there previously for the last 30 years. Coming up and down for the last 10 years, maintaining the property and doing these things at that particular home, the road has always been a subject. It is a dirt road. It's only about 200 yards long, so it's not a very long road. We have issues with people driving on it, creating a dust hazard as well as a pothole hazard. We've had kids that have fallen in the potholes and hurt themselves on the road, riding their bikes. They've gone off on the road and hurt themselves. We have actually had to pitch in ourselves to repair the road many times, to no avail, because it needs to be repaired properly. As Phil was saying, it doesn't need to be paved. We just want someone to come in once every 6 months and at least maintain it, run a grader over it, get it flattened back out again, so it's not a danger to our children on their bicycles or playing football out in the street, and it's not tearing up the front end of our vehicles and that kind of stuff, as well as the dust it creates that we have to breathe constantly. And the dust over the years is getting finer and finer. And it is becoming a health issue as well. So I just came with Phil today to speak my piece on this road as well. And again, it's Aurora Road. We would really like to at least have it looked at, give us some kind of information on it, assess it. I do know taxes are being paid on that road by the residents. I believe something should be brought forward by the city to approach this and do something on that road for us. It would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to address the council during public comment? Seeing none come forward, I will close public comment and bring it back to council and staff. First, with regards to Aurora Road, maybe our community development director. Hello, Phil. Maybe our public works director would like to just kind of briefly address how we do roads and how they can get in contact with you regarding Aurora Road.
Sure. Thank you for that. And one of the things is in Atascadero, there's 179 miles of roadway. 30 miles are not city-maintained. And actually, Aurora Road is not one of the city-maintained roads. Currently, there's some things that we help or try to facilitate with homeowners that live on those roads. I'm guessing Aurora Road is, I don't have the information in front of me, and I'm guessing there's no maintenance assessment district or anything else on that. It's out off Tampico by the wastewater treatment plant. But being a dirt road and everything, one of the things we can help with is maybe meet with your neighbors or the folks that live on that section of road and help facilitate maybe how you can maintain it or get a grader in there or something like that. But currently it's not maintained by the city, so... we do drainage along there once in a while, so that's maybe why you see Mark Russo out there.
Everything needs to be said within public comment. So what would be helpful is if, I think, either after this meeting or, sometime tomorrow, certainly get with Nick, and he can get all of your questions answered. We will We'll do what we can to help facilitate what you need to get done. I understand, but we've closed public comments, so I need to. But you and Nick will definitely take care of everything. Okay. Thank you. With regards to the homeless, we're very aware of the situation. We have Echo. We do a very good job with Echo. The volunteer community steps up and takes care of that. It's amazing. I think maybe I would ask our chief of police, because sometimes law enforcement ends up being that first point of contact, and maybe our chief can let us know what are some of the resources and the interactions that you have with the homeless and the transient population that you come in contact with daily.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
some of you know, I was on Sound Off last week talking about this very issue and the difficult nature of some of the laws in the state of California that changed over the last couple of years that have shown to have a detrimental impact on communities, especially those like ours, with a dramatic increase in the number of people that are homeless and on our streets, not just here in Atascadero, but if just read the paper, you'll see throughout the state, go on news websites, you'll see throughout the state that there's a dramatic increase all throughout the state. One of the things that I did not know at the time that we're kind of happy and pleased to announce now, because a large number of our homeless population suffer from mental health issues and or drug or alcohol addiction, we like to form partnerships, obviously, with the community. We're grateful to hear your voice saying, hey, we as a community, let's you know, make a difference. But we also form partnerships throughout the county. And the county was going after a grant to get a caseworker that would be assigned just to the North County. And we agreed to that several months ago, said we would partner with you. We had the opportunity to meet with Ann Robin this past week. She said, we've got the person in place. We're, you know, the person is hired, and we're ready to implement the program. Where do we go from here? And so the police department was able to sit down with her, talk about what our vision is to reach out to people who suffer from mental health issues in our county, or excuse me, in our city and in the North County, who really aren't getting the services that they need to stay out of this condition of homelessness. And so we'll be partnering with them. Paso Robles is also part of that, and we'll be partnering with them to identify those individuals like the people that were discussed here tonight and say, can we reach out to them ahead of time and provide them with additional mental health services above and beyond the services that our community already provides through ECHO, through the Warming Center, through Loaves and Fishes, through, I mean, we're a giving community. I said that the other day on the radio. Could not stress that enough, that this is truly a giving community. There are people that, because of their disorder, may not be able to receive that help the way that we would intend. And so this is a great opportunity for us to partner with County Mental Health and reach out to those individuals ahead of time and try and get them into the services that we are able to provide.
Thank you. I know that it happened elsewhere in the county, and it was imminent here in North County, so I'm glad to hear that's underway. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who is interested, whether it's ECHO, whether it's the Warming Center Transitions Food and Shelter, they're operating at St. Williams. I'm sure we'll have a report later with our homeless kind of task force about their moving. I've connected them with Ride On, so I believe they're going to be able to provide transportation services. Whether it's Loaves and Fishes, you know, reach out and see what these organizations need, and the more that we can help them there, the better I think our community is. So again, thank you, Chief, and thank you for bringing this to our attention. And I thank you all for your comments. Any of you who do have questions and needs, a gentleman that talked about Aurora Road, both of you, please do be in contact with our public works. We will get your questions answered and help to the extent that we are able. We have no public hearings on our agenda tonight, so we are on to our management reports. And this will be our city manager.
I'm actually going to have Laura Christensen, our Deputy City Manager, give the report tonight.
Deputy City Manager, Laura.
So tonight we're going to talk about the dissolution of the Parks and Recreation Commission. Just a little history. The Parks and Recreation Commission started as an advisory board in 1982, and then in 1985 it was actually turned into the Parks and Recreation Commission. And it operated through 2013, there were quite a few changes between 1985, when it was first established, and 2013 that addressed terms of the commissioners, some of the roles and responsibilities, some meeting schedules. And then in 2013, the City Council actually at the strategic planning suspended the Parks and Recreation Commission due to lack of business items to bring forward. And so what was happening prior to that is some of the meetings were simply just to approve minutes from the prior meeting, and there weren't really items to bring forward and park projects. So for the last 10 years, I went back about 10 years, and for the last 10 years from 2008 on, the Parks and Rec Commission was really reviewing park projects. So there, as an advisory board, they were really reviewing park projects. They were an advisory review of that prior to it coming to the City Council. After the suspension for the year 2013, so there were no meetings in 2013. In 2014, it came back when there was a couple park projects to discuss. And then in 2015, the council again restructured the Parks and Rec Commission. So it changed the terms to match those of the Planning Commission. It changed meeting schedules to be on an as-needed basis rather than a fixed schedule. And then the duties were realigned to mirror what had been ongoing since for the past few years to be strictly project-related. The current status of the commission, so as I said, since 2013, I went back and looked in 2013 when it was suspended. The commission has only met 9 times since 2013. Of those commissioners, there's been 14 different commissioners in the past few years, and they've reviewed 5 projects. So the 9 meetings covered only 5 park projects. And then we went and looked at public comment and the participation on the Parks and Rec Commission, and public comment actually at the meetings has been strictly based on, has been project specific. So there hasn't been any other public comment or public reaching out to the Planning Commission via those meetings outside of the projects that were coming before the commission. And then as part of the budget process in the 2017-2019 strategic plan, the City Council discussed one of the items, which were employee resources. And the commissions, as you know, commissions and committees do take a lot of resource in terms of staff time and resources in terms of printing materials, noticing, and that type of stuff, as well as staff time when it comes to Form 700s in the city manager's and city clerk's office in tracking down, you know, required noticing, required forms, training, that type of stuff for the commissioners. So on top of the requirements of the staff time, there's also the requirements of commissioners for having, like in 2018, they met one time in January. So there's, but they're still required to do sexual harassment training. They're still legally required to do ethics training. They're still required every year to file the Form 700 conflict of interest reports. And so having a commission that only meets once a year and sometimes no meetings, they still have all of these legal requirements that they have to follow as commissioners as well. The terms expired on the 31st of December, and as part of the strategic planning and the employee resources, council discussed looking at the Parks and Rec Commission and whether or not that it would be for following with that priority the dissolution of it. So that was first discussed in 2017, and then it was brought up again at the 2018 strategic planning, and it was determined that at the end of those commission terms, that we would bring forward the commission for dissolution. Terms expired, like I said, on the 31st of December, and so we're bringing it forward now to dissolve it. There is no outstanding business of the commission. Like I said, their last meeting was in January of 2018. So the public input, like I was saying, the commission really for the last 10 years has been project related. So they've sort of been the cursory review of a park project prior to it coming to council, because the final review and approval of any park project has rested with council. And so the Parks and Rec Commission has been that cursory review. And so the public process for those park projects, none of that will change. The only difference is you just won't have that cursory review with the Parks and Rec Commission. But public input remains the same. So these park projects usually come out of extensive public input, whether it be through discussions with staff, with park staff, with recreation staff, with public works staff, with city manager's department, or even with council when the public brings those forward. That's usually where these park projects come from. So that won't change because that's still ongoing, and that's how these have come about to begin with. Then what happens is once those kind of come forward, then it goes out. We see what the public support is when there is enough public support for one of these projects. It's discussed and funded as part of the budget process. Again, that's another public process because that's done here at the council meeting. So the budget is discussed and brought forward for the council to approve every 2 years. And so all of these park projects are part of the budget and discussed as part of that project. So that's another resource for the public to engage in it. And then once these park projects are funded, we meet with the stakeholders who also assist in designing of the project, and staff works a lot with that. So that's more resources for the public to be engaged. And then again, once that's designed, it comes again before council at a public meeting for council to review and approve those designs and then allow us to go out to bid. And then when and if it exceeds purchasing threshold, we once again come before council and public has the ability to participate once again prior to the awarding of a bid. So there are numerous times that the public has access to input and to working with staff and the council among themselves at council meetings. But that's just project specific. So programming in parks, none of that is affected by what's happening with the dissolution of the Parks and Rec Commission. Like I said, since the Parks and Rec Commission has been project specific, programming and parks themselves, all of that public input remains unchanged. That really is with staff. So a lot of that comes directly from interactions staff has with the public. So whether it be when programming at CPCC and the recreation supervisor, Jennifer Fanning, who does an amazing job in working with the public at CPCC in the programming and what you see in the rec brochures, you know, she partners with all of those groups, her and Larice and just all the staff at CPC partner with those groups when there's issues related to any of the programming. You know, they work with all of those groups to balance out that. And then if should there ever be a time where that was something that staff couldn't do, then that would still always be something that could come before the council for the council to, you know, discuss and weigh in on. So none of that, and in terms of programming, none of that is diminished by the dissolution of the Parks and Rec Commission. Same with parks. Parks themselves, each park, each facility has a parks master plan. And so nothing can be done to a park without going along with that parks master plan. And the parks master plan all require council approval for any changes to that. So once again, should there be any reason that something would change or be added or deleted, that would need to come to council and would require quite a lot of public outreach and, you know, extensive public engagement to make those changes. Maybe that's on here. You know, and anything like that is typically a several year process as you work through changing a master plan. And so, like I said, it's modification at the council level, and that's going to require some widespread public engagement. And then since we had talked about this as part of the employee resource priority, we're really approximating 100 to 150 hours of staff time that are saved each year. So even when there's only one meeting, there's still agendas, there's staff reports, minute preparation. Like I said, all the staff attendance at the meetings, you're tracking down the Form 700 reportings, and then all of the trainings that need to go in with all of your commissioners. And then commission terms are every 2 years. And so a lot of times there, and as I was saying, there's been a lot of turnover on the Parks and Rec Commission. So every time we have that, that's that much training that you need to go through again. So the recommendation is to introduce on first reading by title only the draft ordinance repealing in its entirety Title II, Chapter 13 of the Atascadero Municipal Code regarding the Parks and Recreation Commission. And with that, if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen. And I will look to the lights. This is my first time using these lights, so let's see how I do. I will look to the lights if council has any questions of staff. I am seeing no questions at the moment, so I will open it up to the public and see if we have any public comment on this item. Seeing no public comment on this item, I will bring it back to the council for any conversation or a motion. I will say I think it's it probably feels strange to remove something, yet we're trying to be efficient, and government often isn't efficient. So many times there's layer upon layer, and you say, how did it get this way? And I think what we're trying to do is say, how do we make this efficient, still keep the public process in place, still follow the rules, everything that needs to be done appropriately, but remove some layers and cut through some of the bureaucracy and just make things easier. So with that, I guess we have some conversation now. We will start with Councilmember Funk and then Mayor Pro Tem Borbo.
Thank you, Mayor Moreno. I think that what we are trying to do with the Parks and Recreation Commission is to have a structured opportunity for public input and to make sure that this commission, this council, gets a good range of input on critical park projects. That being said, I think there are ways we can achieve that without necessarily having a formal commission that requires all these extra bureaucratic steps, both of our staff and of the volunteers serving on that commission. It would be easier for people to comment and engage if they just have to come to a council meeting and comment or gather with a group and discuss plans and give some structured feedback to the council. I would encourage us, as this is a first reading of it, we'll come back again for a second reading. I would encourage the council, when we adopt this, to make a commitment of some kind to having at some point, at least once a year, where we get a little bigger picture discussion of what's going on with our parks and rec area, where we have a chance to hear in a consolidated form the kind of feedback that the staff is getting, to talk about what big projects or issues may be coming up. Make sure that that's being appropriately reflected in our budget. I don't think we need to save a slice of strategic planning for it, but I think a council meeting agenda item on an annual basis at least would be certainly appropriate and could perhaps be done in conjunction with an occasion. If there is a parks project that's going to hit the agenda, let's plan to do the bigger picture that night, invite everybody that's interested to be here at the same time and give us feedback. Otherwise, just schedule something.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Borbo.
Actually, I pressed the button before you commented, and I was basically going to say what you said and a few of the things that Councilmember Funk said. So I just think this is a good move. It demonstrates our commitment to efficiency, of being lean and efficient, and good use of staff time so they can focus on other things. So I think it's a good move, and I'll make a motion when we're at that point.
And Councilmember Fonzie.
Thank you. Normally, this council has tried to gather information from the public, and I don't want the public to feel that we're trying to cut that off by getting rid of the commissioners that we've discussed on the Planning Commission, for instance, which gets a lot of meetings that come through in our Design Review Committee. We've always encouraged the public to come and communicate with staff, communicate with the council members and the commissioners as well. But what we've seen is that the conversation has kind of stalled out, that there's not a lot of funds that are available for new parks. The new parks that are coming in, like our Parents for Joy, is through a volunteer effort to raise that money and in conjunction with the city. And so it's coming in a different fashion than it used to. And I just want to assure the public that we're listening. We want to hear from you. If there are concerns about parks, call us up, email us, talk to staff. But I don't think that this will cut off the conversation. I think it may actually enhance that conversation if it comes directly to us. Thank you.
Well said by all my colleagues. And just know, too, that Ms. Christensen talked about the budget meetings and where we appropriate funds. Those budget meetings are all public meetings as well, and those will be taking place later this spring, somewhere in the sort of May-June time frame, possibly starting in April. Those will all be publicly noticed. We'll talk about them at these meetings and let you know when those are, so those are available for you to attend as well. I see no other comments. I think Mayor Pro Tem Borbo said you would be willing to make a motion.
Yes, I move that we adopt staff's recommendation regarding this draft ordinance to dissolve the Parks and Recreation Commission.
Second.
I thought it would be appropriate for maybe our former Parks and Recreation Commissioner.
Yeah.
I'll second that.
Wonderful. We have a first by Mayor Pro Tem Borbo, a second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
First, let me just read the title.
Yes, please. Thank you.
An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Atascadero, California, repealing in its entirety Title II, Chapter 13 of the Atascadero Municipal Code regarding the Parks and Recreation Commission. Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Burbo?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. All right, we're now on to council announcements and reports, and this is where if council member is involved in something on their own initiative that they want to talk about briefly, their activities or something within the community, this is separate from our committee reports, so I'll just go from my left to my right. Are there any council announcements and reports?
We have a DRC meeting tomorrow.
So that would be under the committee reports.
Oh,
so I know that's not as clear as you would like it to be. So typically, council announcements and reports, so sometimes you might be out in the community doing something you want to talk about. Maybe you want to ask staff for a clarification on something. Maybe ask if there is consensus to put something on a future agenda. So that is the type of thing that we would do under council announcements and reports. And then committee reports will be DRC. But why don't we tonight, since we have a light agenda, just go ahead and combine those together, and we've got DRC tomorrow, right?
Yes, we have a design review committee tomorrow at 2.
Thank you.
I will be attending the Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting tomorrow. And there's some substantial issues there regarding, one is looking towards hiring a new general manager, because we've had an interim manager for several months now. So that's probably the most significant thing. But there's been some things happen at the IWA, so the agendas are much more full than they typically have been in the past, because there's, with the interim manager, there's a lot of cleaning up being done. And I can report back more after that meeting.
Thanks. Sounds good. Thank you. Councilmember Fonzie.
No reports on the committees, but I did have a question for staff. I continue to get quite a few emails regarding parking downtown and traffic calming. I just wondered when that's coming back to the council so I can tell my constituents when this will be.
We are trying to develop an extensive public process. We, too, at the staff level, are getting a lot of public comments. I think there is some confusion about what types of things we're looking at for traffic calming. Staff is actually trying to see if there's a way that we could do a field trip and look at some of the other cities that have implemented proposals such as the ones that were being looked at by the council and by staff. That's a little bit bigger undertaking than one would think, trying to get the public and all five council members to a spot that is far away. So I would expect that we will bring something to you or we'll hear more and at least have something set sometime in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Funk.
Yes, first of all, next week, three of us will be, Councilmember Newsom, Mayor Moreno, and myself will be involved in the League of California Cities training for new council members and mayors. So during the course of that time, the Homeless Services Oversight Council will be having their regular bi-monthly meeting, and I have arranged for Councilmember Burbeau to attend in my stead, since I will be off in Sacramento learning how to do this job. Additionally, Councilmember Burbeau, may I provide a little update from our homeless? We have the council member and I serve on a homeless task force that was brought about in response to the demise of the proposal to place the warming center in the armory. We have been working actively with Transitional Food and Shelter, with the organization which has been hosting the warming center at St. Williams. The warming center was successfully transferred over the two-week Christmas period, or about 2 weeks, when St. Williams was not available. It was hosted by Atascadero United Methodist Church, and it is now back at St. Williams through the 21st of January, and they have secured an arrangement now to have the warming center for the rest of the winter season after the 21st of January to be hosted at Dove Creek Church, the Nazarene Church at Santa Barbara Road and El Camino Real, with transportation provided.
Wonderful. Thank you for that report.
Volunteers are continue to be welcome.
Yes, volunteers are continuing to be welcome in many ways. But yes, Transitions Food and Shelter would certainly love to have any volunteers that are willing and able. I will be attending SLOCOG and Regional Transportation Authority meetings tomorrow and the Countywide Mayor's meeting this Friday. So I'll report back on that in 2 weeks. And do we have any individual determinations or actions by staff?
I do have two quick things. I want to remind everybody in the public that applications, if you're interested in getting involved in city government, applications for the Planning Commission and the Citizens Sales Tax Oversight Committee are due to the city by this Friday, January 11th. We really are looking for applications. The CSTOC Committee, we need some organizations to step up. Those positions aren't appointed by the city, but instead are appointed by different nonprofits who say we're interested in appointing a member to that committee. So we'd love to get some of those, and we'd love to get some more planning commissioner applications. And those are two-year terms for the Planning Commission and both two- and four-year terms for the CSTOC. I also want to make sure the public is invited to strategic planning January 25th and 26th. It will start the evening of January 25th, I believe at 5 p.m. That's a Friday evening. We typically go till about 9 o'clock that evening, and then we'll start up again the next morning, I believe at 8:30. I don't have the numbers in front of me. And typically we'll go through about 2 p.m. on that Saturday. The public is welcome to attend. There are a lot of areas for and different times for public participation. And want to make sure that everybody is aware of it. Please tell your friends. Thank you.
And Ms. City Manager, you may want to talk a little bit more about the organizations that can apply for the Sales Tax Oversight Committee. So you mentioned they need to be nonprofit. Are there any other requirements?
It has to be a nonprofit. It has to be nonpartisan and non-secular.
Okay.
So those are the three requirements. But any type of organization, a fraternal organization, a any kind of
service
nonprofit,
clubs.
Service clubs, yep. Kiwanis, Rotary, Quota, AAUW, any of those, we would love to see them step up. If you're interested in serving and are a member of a nonprofit or a club, please talk to them and say, hey, would you be willing to appoint me to that? Thank you.
Thank you. Any others?
Just as a question for the city clerk, if could you tell us at this point in time how many applications you've received, if any, for the Planning Commission?
I believe we have two applications so far for Planning Commission, and we have four applications for CSTOC and two applications or two notices of interest for community groups.
Any other individual determinations? All right. Seeing none, we will adjourn the meeting to the successor agency. And so I will call to order the City of Atascadero City Council in capacity of the successor agency to the Community Redevelopment Agency meeting. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonsi?
Here.
Councilmember Funk?
Here.
Councilmember Newsom?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Burbo?
Here.
Mayor Moreno?
Here.
All present.
Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Fonsi, second by Mayor Pro Tem Borbeau. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonsi?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Borbeau?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Is there a motion to approve the consent? Oh, well, let me just say we have a consent calendar, I guess I should say. Is there any member of the council or the public wishing to pull an item on the consent agenda? I didn't think so. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Seconded.
First by Councilmember Funk, second by Mayor Pro Tem Borbeau. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Borbeau?
Yes.
Mayor Morano?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. This part is a community forum. This is the portion of our meeting reserved for persons wanting to address the board on any matter that is not on the agenda and over which the board has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. The board may take action to direct staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. A maximum of 30 minutes will be allowed for community forum unless changed by the board. So community forum is open. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the board? Seeing none, I will close community forum. And we have no public hearings. We have a management report, and this will be by our Administrative Services Director, Ms. Rangel.
Thank you very much. The item before you this evening is the required obligation payment schedule for 2019-2020. So as you may recall, with the dissolution of redevelopment, the State Department of Finance requires that each successor agency provide a redevelopment payment schedule, or ROPS, we call it, for the coming year. So this is we call it the 1920, since it spans the fiscal year 2019-2020. It is 1 year's worth of expenses, kind of divided up into 2 6-month periods, but included in one report. So we had previously had each successor agency would have each an individual oversight board. This was concluded last summer, and all of the oversight boards in the county were kind of merged into one countywide board. So now there is a countywide oversight board that will review the ROPS after you approve, assuming that you approve that this evening. So the ROPS is due to the county by January 14th, in a couple of weeks, or in a week, I guess, and for their meeting on January 28th to consider the ROPS. And then after that would be forwarded to the Department of Finance. So this does cover the one-year period. And it includes a request of redevelopment property tax trust funds, which is essentially property tax that is reserved for the redevelopment agencies or successor agencies, in the amount of $1.9 million. This is primarily for bond debt service, so that is the bulk of what we're requesting the funds for. There are a little bit of funds that are allowed for administrative allowance just to pay for the costs of kind of maintaining everything. And there are included in here amounts for city loan repayments. You may recall that there was a, let's say last year, we brought to the board a request for approval for an agreement for the repayment of loans. So the city loaned the redevelopment agency 3 different loans over the course of the redevelopment process, really to get them up and running, since there was no increment coming in. So the city has qualified, checking off all of the boxes of the things that need to be done to be able to get these repaid. The successor agency board and the oversight board have approved those loan agreements. We sent them off to the State Department of Finance. We were informed by the State Department of Finance that they were not approved because of some technical issues. We are still working with them, trying to get those approved, but there is no formal mechanism for appeal on that process. The formal mechanism is through the ROPS. So if we put them on the ROPS and they are funded, then we can pay for them. When it gets to the Department of Finance, they say, no, we're denying these, then we do have a formal avenue for appeal. So we do are able to kind of come back and go through that process. So these are included, although we have been initially informed by the State Department of Finance that they weren't approved initially. So just wanted to let you know that those are on there, but we do look forward to kind of following up on that item. As I said, the oversight board at the county level will review this item on their at their meeting on January 28th. And then after that, once it's approved by the oversight board, it will be submitted to the State Department of Finance. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Do we have any council questions of staff? We'll go by the lights. Councilmember Funk, followed by Mayor Pro Tem Borbeau.
Thank you, Mayor. If you could just clarify that we understand that there are quite a number of other cities that are in the same boat. The concerns that caused our request for these loan repayments to be rejected by the state are concerns typical of several cities. Is that your understanding? And do you know about how many cities are in the same boat?
I would imagine that's true. I have seen with my colleagues across the state, different cities that have had similar issues. I don't know quite the number of those, and I think each city has its own particular circumstances. But this is something that is not out of the ordinary, I would say.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Borbeau, and I apologize because instead of hitting advance, I think I hit a reset, so there may have been another light in there, and that was probably you. Yes.
Thank you. I had several questions this morning that the city manager answered for me. I did have one that I think I know the answer to, but to confirm, assuming optimistically that these are ultimately approved, the repayment, if approved, that money would go into the general fund. Is that correct?
Yes. So this was city general fund funds that were sent to the redevelopment agency.
Right.
And they have been structured in such a way that it we are cognizant of the funding coming in to all the different agencies, and we wanted to make sure that none of them are really, quote unquote, harmed in, you know, the process of repaying these. So they're kind of gradual over the process, building on the increment.
Right, and there is another body, the Oversight Board, I think it is, correct, that where the other agencies in the county that are recipients of some of the property tax are represented, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, right. And what is the time frame of repayment, if approved? How many years?
Don't recall.
The debt service agreement approved by the successor agency and the oversight board had payments going through 2026. By 2026, all three loans would be paid in full.
Got it. And I did want to comment that, because the information's on here, these loans were made by the city to the redevelopment agency back in 98, 2001, and 2002. So it's been a long time.
Correct.
So, all right. Thank you.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Thank you. You said that the state has rejected our payment here for technical reasons. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Yes. So I think initially they had indicated that there was no official repayment schedule connected with the loans, and therefore potentially maybe they weren't intended to be repaid or something to that regard, because we didn't have a dated schedule with it. And the first loan, which was incurred, I think the agreement read that it was a one-year loan. We had not been able to find the information that kind of expanded that loan beyond that year's time frame. However, every budget, every audit, every discussion that we had was the intention that that loan was ongoing, and the loan has not been paid back. So it appears that to us that it clearly that is kind of in place of a written repayment schedule that was included in the original agreement. So we're kind of working with the attorneys going through this process, trying to see what would be acceptable to the DOF.
I see. And so the successor agency had no problem with the repayment. It's just the state, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions? It would seem to me that my understanding is that redevelopment agency could only function with borrowed money. Like it had to have borrowed money to get going. You couldn't sit around and wait and save up increment and then go out and do something. You had to borrow money to do something, correct?
That is correct.
So it would seem, could we not use that argument that that money, had they had to use borrowed money, what we gave them was borrowed money, so it would be intended as a loan to be paid back?
Yes, and that is part of our argument going forward as well. Okay.
Well, we are hopeful. We will go ahead and open this up to the public. Is there any member of the public wishing to speak on this item? Seeing none, we will close public comment and bring it back to the board for either any comments or a motion. Don't all jump at once.
I'll make it that I will make the motion that the successor agency board approve the draft recognized obligation payment schedule to be for the period of July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2020.
I'll second.
We have a first by Councilmember Fonzie, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bourbeau. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bourbeau?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am. Motion passes. All right. Do we have any board announcements or reports? No, seeing none. Meeting adjourned.
I know.